Hey, Corey here. We've had an influx of new listeners, and so I just want to make sure that if you are new to the podcast, you don't just jump in and start listening to these daily episodes, which we've been doing. Please go back and listen to the first at least 8 episodes so you have an idea of what Collapse is, what it is that Corey is talking about. Also, if you've been with us for a while and you're enjoying the content, please join us on Patreon. We would love to see you there. There's a link, as always, in the description.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure, startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
The IEA has released a new report called Oil 2025, in which they kind of take some trends and extrapolate where we're headed as far as oil production goes into the future. This report's caused a little bit of a stir just in the fact that it is highlighting some pretty stark shifts and changes, especially in regards to investments and how important new investments are in the oil industry. So we're going to take a look at that today. Obviously, as background for this episode, you can hearken back to our very first episode on energy. I believe it was episode 3, where we kind of discussed the basics of peak oil. And look, this is a highly debated topic, especially amongst the Collapse Aware folks, in that there's sort of this question of peak supply versus peak demand. Do we have enough oil? Are we worried about oil supply shocks? Or are we more worried about using the amount of oil that we have in reserves and what it means for pollution and climate change? Or is it both? I think often we take a very simplistic view of it. It's a very, very complex topic. It's not that we can just look at it and say, is there enough oil to meet demand, you know, in the coming 5 to 10 decades, and then just looking at like the total numbers and seeing what do we have in reserves or what is there in potential fields, and then just adding up some numbers and saying, okay, we're going to require X amount and it looks like there's X amount available, so we're good or we're not. You know, there are so many factors that go into this. We go into that a little bit in that episode I previously mentioned. But one of the most important factors, and the one that's being highlighted quite prevalently in this IEA report, is that individual fields follow a bell curve of production and decline. And once you start to go on that downward slope of the decline, you're not able to milk every drop of oil, right, or of natural gas out of the ground because it becomes economically unfeasible. It hits a point where it's not worth it financially to continue to draw from a well. Once you hit that decline, it requires a bigger investment, both financial and in other resources, to continue to draw anything from that well. So that is especially true when it comes to shale oil and other tight oil extraction methods, which methods have made up a huge piece of the gap and growth in oil supply over the last few decades. So we'll get into this report a little bit, but sort of the main thing that I want to highlight here is the sort of risks that we're facing when it comes to investments and the potential for supply shocks in the coming couple of decades. So this research paper says a lot. There is a lot there. It's a 73-page report. So we're not going to go into all of the details, but I do want to highlight some of the main points that I think are particularly important and interesting. One of those being that growth into new investments, into new projects, is slowing down dramatically. Talks about how in oil, the U.S., Saudi Arabia, Russia, and Canada together now supply 50% of the world's crude oil, and around 2/3 of the ramping up projects approved recently are simply expansions of existing fields. So, and then over 70% of new conventional approvals are offshore, and that's important for another reason I'll mention shortly. But yeah, two-thirds of all the growth is just in the existing fields. They're trying to expand and grow projects that already exist rather than starting new projects. When it comes to 70% of new conventional approvals being offshore, this is a huge deal because offshore fields have a much higher rate of decline. They last for much less time than onshore conventional fields. Some of the projections, I'll just read some of the numbers here for projections regarding declines. So the supergiant oil fields, which there are a few of those in the Middle East and US, and those decline at about 2.7% per year. However, smaller fields and deep water offshore fields like the ones I just mentioned are declining much faster at an average 10 to 12% annual decline. Now, where this gets really interesting is in reference to investments, right? There is a ton of money. We're talking $500 billion plus per year US dollars that's being invested in oil and gas. And 90% of that investment since 2019 has gone simply towards offsetting the declines. So what do we mean by that? Basically, they're saying that of all the money being invested in this, it's just to keep up with current demand. That's not growth, right? 10% of all of that money invested is going towards growing and adding new oil supply. So it means that if investment stopped, if that 90% of all money going towards just keeping things where they're at, we would have a rapid decline in oil supply. Now, from a very simplistic standpoint, you can just say, okay, well then we just can't stop investing, like just keep putting money in there. But hello, the whole purpose of investing is to make a return. And if investors are finding that there is no return to be had, if they're finding that, especially in the U.S., where we're doing this unconventional shale and tight oil exploration, as those fields begin to or continue to decrease in production, the investment opportunity starts to slip because the returns aren't there, right? We're already subsidizing the oil industry to such a degree that if those subsidies have to continue to increase and exponentially so in order to keep investors making money, that is a huge issue. It's a huge problem for the economy and financial situation. Donald Trump has gone into this sort of, drill baby drill mentality in an effort to keep the U.S. relevant when it comes to oil supply. You know, right now, the U.S. makes up a very vast, a very large amount of the growth. I believe it was something like 90%. I'm actually going to check. Well, I can't remember where I saw it, but I'm not going to pretend to remember the numbers. But if you Google a chart, essentially, of oil production and the increases, the U.S. makes a huge part of the increases in oil production and discoveries. And that's because, again, of the discovery of these shale fields. The problem, again, is that they are so inefficient. The report mentions that the share of crude oil from conventional fields fell from 97% in 2000 to only 77% by 2024. So just in the last couple of decades, the majority, or I guess I should say the amount, the percentage of oil that is being pulled from unconventional fields has increased dramatically, and conventional sources are decreasing. And of course, those conventional sources are the efficient high EROEI options. Along that same vein, two countries, the United States and Russia, dominate the natural gas exploration and production as well, making up 24% of the world's total. So investment in the U.S. is massively important. And what happens if investment stalls out or even decreases? Well, basically it says if we don't continue to increase the investment, then production of oil is going to peak, plateau, and reverse. The amount of money has to continue to increase that we're putting into it, and as a higher and higher percentage, just to stay flat, and then any growth on top of that. They kind of map out what happens under a no investment scenario. Essentially, they say that without any new investment, global oil output would fall by 8% per year on average, and gas would fall by 9% per year. And in perspective, they say that that's about the combined annual output of Brazil and Norway from an oil perspective. These are natural declines in existing wells, and they talk about how those rates have steepened dramatically from the year 2010, pretty much because faster depleting shale, the deeper offshore projects are causing that more rapid decline. As I mentioned earlier, Donald Trump has kind of reprioritized and said, yes, we're going to invest in drilling, drilling, drilling. So he is at this moment sort of meeting that demand, but we don't know exactly what the investment is going to look like. Is he going to loosen regulations that make it more attractive for investors to be able to invest? Now, again, from a, this is a catch-22, right? From an energy perspective, well, okay, there may be more access to more plentiful energy for a longer period of time if those investments increase. But it also means more pollution, more CO2 emissions, right? More methane emissions from leaks at these sites, and of course, more climate change. Now, extrapolating the trends from this report out to 2050, essentially they find that there is a fairly large gap that will require many new projects by 2050 in order to keep up with demand. Under a no further investment scenario, the IEA finds that global oil production would collapse by around 65% over just the next decade. And even in the Middle East and Russia, where they have these sort of larger, slower depleting fields, it would still drop by around 45% in those areas. One of the complexity factors here, as I was mentioning at the beginning of the episode, you can't just add everything up and say, do we meet the demand or not, is the location of where the oil is, right? Geopolitics, you can argue that every war going back to who knows how far is about oil. It's about energy. It's about who controls the resources that keep the world afloat. North America and Europe have the fastest declining oil output, you know, from each well because of those fast declining shales and offshore fields. The projection is that by 2050, OPEC countries and Russia could command over 65% of global oil output, which has never happened in history. Whereas the U.S. could dominate in natural gas along with Russia and Qatar. And it states that if countries prioritize domestic needs, around 80% of today's seaborne natural gas trade would vanish by 2035. So look, again, it's a long report. It's a lot to kind of sift through. But the main takeaways are that as far as projected demand for oil goes and projected investment based on declining rates of production, and there is a gap. There is a concern. And when you look at, you know, renewables, people will say, well, what about renewables? We're making huge gains there. The idea is that we can replace oil with renewables and we'll have peak supply instead of peak demand. And we are, you know, we're making strides towards that. That is sort of the call. That said, doing some research in that area, there is still a very large gap in the amount of renewables required, not just to meet the, you know, 1.5 or 2 degrees Celsius Paris Climate Accord, IPCC agreements and all of that. We're not even close to hitting that. But from a just keeping up with demand, we're supposed to be tripling the amount of renewable energy by 2030. And it looks like we're going to miss that by about 50%. Or that's to say, we would need to increase by another 50% how much we're projected to have by 2030. The economic situation, catabolic collapse, the amount of money there is to invest, you know, is a hugely important part of this. If the financial system becomes stressed, if the capabilities to invest both in simultaneously renewables and this widening gap in oil and gas production, you know, if we're not able to keep up with that amount of investment, we start to get a gap in supply. And the IEA here makes the point that recently, the conversation has been mostly around the demand side of things, not the supply side of things. We look at demand and we say, yes, what are we doing about renewables? What are we doing about cleaner sources of energy that get us away from fossil fuels? And, you know, the basically saying that the demise of the oil industry is going to be due to that lack of demand required. And they're saying it's time to look back into supply because this is getting serious, this is getting sketchy. And if the hopeful take that we have that you see in all the articles about, you know, how great and how fast green energy is and how much it's growing, if we're not actually able to keep up with the required demand in the coming decades, then we will experience a supply shock. And a sustained global or even regional supply shock would spell utter disaster for economies, for livelihoods, from just a continuity, business as usual scenario or perspective. Oil is still what makes the world turn, and collapse from oil shocks is still very much a possibility. So anyway, with all that, I'm not trying to say that I think we're going to have, you know, the peak oil is going to happen in the next couple of decades and we're going to have these massive shocks and this is what's going to be our downfall. I don't know, right? And there's so much that we don't know. There is a constant change in demand as both established and developed countries slowly move away from fossil fuels and towards renewables, whereas developing countries are using much, much more oil than they have previously. And while we can make projections, while the IEA can make projections about what that demand will look like in the future, in the end, it's all guesswork. Will we make new advancements and breakthroughs in renewable technologies that will make it more scalable, more widely adoptable, or will we run into obstacles and hiccups along the way that slow the growth? Again, right now, we are not on pace with renewables to be able to make up the gap that the IEA is projecting in oil demand. And so at this rate, yes, at some point we do hit supply shocks. And I don't even want to imagine the sort of geopolitical conflicts that will come as Middle East and Russia, OPEC, are able to consolidate, the supply of those resources. All right. If you're into this sort of thing, I've linked the report here so you can go through and check that out. Just a quick light read of 73 pages of, you know, technical jargon around the oil industry and some neat graphs and pictures for you there as well. Thanks for being here. Have a great rest of your day. Hey, Corey here. If you are listening to the back catalog of Breaking Down Collapse, thank you. Those episodes are so vital. They're so important. But I also wanted to let you know that I am now doing daily episodes. Yes, that's right. Here on the podcast, daily episodes. So if you are enjoying the back catalog, great. Please also feel free to zoom forward to the most recent episodes. Catch us daily. They are quick little episodes, and I think you'll enjoy them. Thanks.